Broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in Orlando, Florida, it's time for Regions Business Radio Orlando. Regions Business Radio Orlando is presented by Regions Bank. Brave the beginning. Member FDIC.
Welcome to Regions Business Radio Orlando, presented by Regions Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. I'm your host, Scott Wall, and I'm a commercial banking leader with Regions Bank here in our Central Florida market. We are broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside the Marriott Hotel in downtown Orlando, Florida. And my guest today is Dr. George Haggerty, who is the president of Beacon College, which is located right up the road in downtown Leesburg, Florida. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Haggerty.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks to Regents Bank as well, Scott.
Well, George, let's start. I mean, your background within education and educational innovation is amazing. And I'd like to start, if I could, factually, since the age of 19, you are legally blind. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And can you talk a little bit about that and just about your background and your experience as we set up our time today to talk about mostly Beacon?
Sure. Actually, the reality is that the loss of my eyesight, which was progressive over my late teens and early adulthood into the 40s and 50s, was something that really defined my life in a very positive way. As a high school student and even in my first year of college, I was a fairly undisciplined, let's call lazy student. And when the eye issue came along, I can recall this minister that they had sent to see me in high school. And he said, George, I only have one question. It's the most important question. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? Now, at the time he said that, I kind of resented that as a teenager. But when I got the eye disease, that came back to me. And I determined that if they give me a second chance in the undergraduate level, I would be as good an academic as I could. And so my sophomore, junior, and senior year at the undergraduate level was extremely positive. And then the later years when I went on to graduate school, I absolutely used the disadvantage people saw in me as an advantage. That started me on a course of, I was always interested in finance and government, but also in issues of disability. And so that was the focus of my graduate studies, and I was sent on to a postdoctoral fellowship in Washington, D.C., and I worked for what was then called the Bureau of Education for the Handicapped, and I was working on the first federal civil rights legislation, the regulations for the first legislation, civil rights legislation, called the Education for All Handicapped Children Act, Public Law 94-142. So I was on the regulatory team. It was really interesting to me. So that was 78 and 79 when we were writing the regs. It was really interesting to me that we understood what a learning disability was. That had been really defined since 1962 with a group of parents and a researcher named Samuel Kirk, Dr. Samuel Kirk. But we didn't know what ADHD was, and we did not really fully understand autistic spectrum disorder. We didn't even understand it was a spectrum. So if you really take a look at it, that was 42, 43 years ago, and the kind of work that we've done, the kind of research, the advances that we've made in our knowledge of these issues is really dramatic.
We're going to get into it with regard to your time at Beacon. And as I'm hearing you, it makes sense that you are at Beacon College with that background. And I do want to tell our listeners, George, you were, correct me if I'm wrong, you were president of Franklin Pierce University for, gosh, almost 15 years.
That's correct.
05 to 09.
Yes.
You did a bunch of work overseas. I have you as the chair of the National Association of Colleges and Universities. And I think you were chairing a large athletic, was it D2?
D2 NCAA, yeah.
I mean, such incredible experiences along the way. I know there's a lot more stories for our 30 minutes today. Let me start now, if I can, with Beacon College. That's where you're currently the president. How was Beacon founded? What is Beacon? And we're going to go through a number of topics about Beacon today, but maybe start with the founding of the college.
Sure. So a group of, I would say, visionary and probably desperate parents. I have only met several of them later on. And a educator named Marsha Glines came together, and they founded Beacon College in 1989 because these parents realized that their sons, they were mostly sons, but let's say sons and daughters, could go and succeed in an undergraduate environment, but that the schools that they were going to just weren't adapting to their unique needs. And so I don't know anybody who would have thought of founding a private college in 1989 because it was pretty tough sledding for most institutions, public and private. But they did. They had a focus on a singular mission, that this was an institution that was going to be devoted to the preparation, undergraduate preparation of students with learning and attention issues. And in 1989, depending on which part of the law you want to hear, listen to, they either had 17 or 32 students for that first year. By the time the school moved on and got its full accreditation from the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools in 2003, the institution remained at about 75 students, no more than 75 students. After accreditation, the board really wanted to take a new focus, a new vision, and they worked hard on adding some majors beyond human services, business, information technology, and the like. And when I came in 2013, the school had 187 students. But I looked at it, we were coming from overseas because my wife Oksana and I lived in Greece, in Italy, and in Ukraine, and spent quite a bit of time in Southeast Asia and Vietnam as well over a five-year period, but it was time to come home. Our son was going to high school, and so we really wanted to be back here in the United States. And when I took a look at Beacon, I was really blown away by the numbers. And the board asked me, do you think you can grow the institution to 250? And I said, well, if these numbers are real, and I'll know within 6 months, then you grow it to 1,000 or 1,500. But that's not the right number. The right number for our profile of learners who have learning and attention issues is 450 to 500. And I told them it was going to take 10 years. We did it in eight. We're now over 500, which really is the maximum that I would like to go at this point. And our students come from 32 other states and eight foreign countries. Less than 30% of our students come from Florida. And the funny thing is, I guess you're not a prophet in your own land. There's still not a great knowledge of Beacon College, which is part on us. In Central Florida, and most of our students who come from Florida come from Miami, Tampa, and Jacksonville.
Did you know when you were overseas, George, did Beacon find you, or did you find them with regard to the leadership role?
I have no idea how this worked, but I was looking at some presidencies, not at Beacon, and I was in Ukraine, and somehow Beacon's counsel for the search called me, found me in Ukraine, which is that took a lot because we lived in eastern Ukraine, which now is under Russian control. But we lived in eastern Ukraine, and I was really shocked. And I told them I hadn't heard of the institution. The person told me what this was all about, and my wife and I chatted that night, and you know, we put it on the list. And all the other institutions that I was looking at were private regional universities, which has really been my wheelhouse as my career has developed.
I'm presuming that you made a comment about the late 70s and all the work that was happening, research and innovation around neurodivergent issues for folks, right? Children, adults. A lot of work must have been done since then in 1989 when Beacon College was started.
There is a reality, though. Most of the research that's been done, certainly over the last 20 years, has not been with respect to learning and attention issues, LD, ADHD, autistic spectrum disorder, and instructing those students. It's not been at the higher ed level. So most of what we take in research for the kind of program that we develop, and I can talk a little bit about the what they call a secret sauce, which I'm not sure is so secret, but a lot of what we work on comes from research on secondary education students, primarily on late secondary school juniors and seniors. So we really are, with a couple of other institutions, we're really pioneering some new ground. And you had asked me about the secret sauce of the institution. There truly is no secret sauce, but what I can say is we know now that universal design and instruction is the most effective form of instruction, not only for students who have learning and attention issues, but for all students, including gifted students. And that's the program, that's exactly how we prepare our students. But the other piece of what we do is we have a learning specialist model, and that learning specialist is assigned from the time the student is admitted and works with that student weekly, not to tutor them, not to regurgitate what was in the classroom, but to keep them focused and motivated and moving forward. And yes, they do work on issues that the student is having, maybe having in the classroom. But the truth of the matter is it's not a traditional tutor system. And we have learning specialists who serve the students during the freshman year, then another group of learning specialists who work with students during the sophomore year, and then finally learning specialists who work with students junior and senior year. By junior and senior year, most of the students do not need the support of the learning specialists. We have a scaffolded system. It meets all the requirements that we have to meet, just like any institution accredited under the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools. So this is not a watered-down system. And really what I believe makes Beacon unique is that, and this has been since the very early, probably about 9 years ago, when the board and I decided that we were going to have a totally different focus. We were going to put in place a rigorous undergraduate preparation, nothing watered down, using universal design that was specifically devoted to this population of students, which is very different from the idea of a LD school or an LD program. All of our students have some issue. We only take 58% of the students who apply, and that number is actually starting to go down, you know, to about 55%, because we are literally full at the institution. The other piece that I want to say is that, and part of this is my own life experiences, don't ever tell these students what they can't do. And we are constantly pushing boundaries. I happen to believe that a very good liberal arts institution has to have a foreign experience, an overseas experience. And so 6 years ago, we determined to start our first overseas experience, which is called Beacon in Tuscany. It's our own program just outside of Florence. And right now, our students left this week. They left this weekend to go over to have an incredible time overseas for a full semester. It's our program. We have a beautiful hotel right on a beautiful piazza and an incredible Italian-based food experience for them. And our classroom is also utilizing some of the University of Florence classrooms. And it's really been an incredible feature. And when we started it, we were told, oh, boy, you know, students who are on the autistic spectrum, they don't like change. And I said, try me. And the first 8 students that went over out of those 25, we can only take maximum 25 over just because of the room that we have. The first 8 students who were on the spectrum came back just as transformed as any student at any university would be when they come back from this experience. This year, we're hoping to start Beacon in Tokyo. In the spring, we just have a little bit more to negotiate. We already know how popular that's going to be with our students, because I'm not sure whether it's anime or whether it's sushi, but boy, they're all over Japan.
George, you mentioned universal design has the protocol on the education. What is that?
It's really to approach all learners who multimodally, because there are some students who are visually, their mode of taking in information is largely visual. There's auditory, and there's experiential kinesthetic. And every one of the lectures touches those features so that all learners can participate and succeed. They're available to learn. We just need to make sure that we can successfully complete the teaching learning process. And so that's really what universal design is. It's making instruction available to every student, irrespective of their modality. I come from the old days where we thought that LD students could not learn. They had different needs than ADHD students and certainly students on the autistic spectrum. But the truth of the matter is, yes, they do have different interventions that are needed, but they can all learn in the same classroom if, in fact, you use universal design and if you have that support system that our learning specialists provide, because they keep them moving forward in their experience.
Just as important, I presume, in the classroom is what happens outside the classroom at Beacon. And maybe you could speak a little bit about that dynamic in and around the campus for your student cohort.
Sure. For many students who have learning and attention issues, they may not have had the best high school experience. No matter how hard school districts and even some private schools work at it, sometimes they just don't have a great handle on all the needs and the modes of learning for these students. And part of what they, I think, miss is the executive functioning issues that some of these students have. Certainly attention, support of time management. These are the kind of issues that get in the way of students' impulse control. They get in the way of students not only learning, but they get in the way of their social interactions. So part of what we do is look at the student holistically, and not just that's not just a buzzword to us. We do work with each student holistically, each student. And so we're not only concerned about the student's ability to succeed in the classroom, but we also want them to what we call live an abundant life, and that includes the ability to work with others, to collaborate with others, to make a difference in any organization that you're part of or any group that you're part of. And so most of what we do outside of the classroom, which is reinforced in the classroom, is really work on the social dynamics that these students need to develop. And I will tell you, the change is rather dramatic. In most of our students, you see them come in as a freshman, and by the time they're juniors, and most of the time, but by the time they're sophomores, you see enormous self-confidence, because these students do come in because of what happened to them prior, their prior history. They do come in with very low self-esteem, very low self-confidence that they can actually succeed, not only in college, but to succeed in education. And we turn that around within the first year.
We've talked about, I've seen it on the website, which is robust, by the way, is the Beacon Promise. Take a moment and tell our listeners what that stands for.
Well, the Beacon Promise is that we will, once a student is accepted, we will work not only to prepare them academically in a rigorous undergraduate program, but also that we will prepare them for a life abundant, which includes worthy work, which includes participation in society at the fullest level, which is also maintaining strong relationships with family and a cohort of friends who can support you and that you can support. So the Beacon Promise is to take students who may or may not be in great shape in their freshman year and to try to get them by their senior year to individuals who are ready to enter the working world and what we call emerging adulthood.
I think I saw somewhere you had a fairly high placement for your senior class, and maybe it was 83. Did I see that
right?
That's
pretty good. Yeah, no. Last year it was 83.5%, and that number, it would be a proud number for I believe any liberal arts institution. But we do really work hard and keep improving our system for career and professional development. So that 83.5 includes not only students who go on to what we call worthy work, but worthy of a college degree, but also 15% of our students go on to graduate study. And the important thing to know is that most of these students and their families were told that these students would not go to college or that at best they could get an associate's degree. So we're proud that we can make that number, whether they're on to their first job, their first career, or whether they're going on to a competitive graduate school.
Maybe just a comment. I got to think that your team of instructors and staff, that's got to be a pretty impressive group to get in the trenches with these students and really come at it from a different angle, maybe from other schools.
They are. There are certain accreditation standards that we have to meet, just like everybody else, not only in the state, but in the country with their various regional accreditors. But we have to look for something different. So we need, let's say, history. We need a history professor who is highly capable in their field, that is very good at teaching, but they also need to have a passion for serving students who learn differently.
Sure.
And that passion is absolutely required for our community to work and to succeed. I will say this, everybody at the institution knows why we're there, and everybody is devoted to that. I've interviewed every single person for the last 8.5 years who's come to Beacon because I want to know two things. Number one, can they be passionate about our students? And if they don't know enough about our students, are they willing to learn? And the second thing is, will they be a good colleague? Will they have the students back and have their colleagues back when things get difficult? And sometimes they do get difficult. Many of our students have not had a tremendous exposure to success or to large-scale friendships. Now, that's not all of them, but there is a number. And you really need to have a passion for working with students with learning and attention issues, because we want, at the very end, to all be celebrating that this student did exceedingly well. But there's a long road to it. And if you don't have enough talent and the ability to instruct these students or enough passion to serve these students, then it becomes problematic. And we have been, certainly for the 10 years that I've been at Beacon, we've been in a talent search, a constant talent search, because these individuals, faculty and staff, professional staff and support staff, are few and far between. Believe me, we've gone everywhere to try to recruit individuals who we think meet our standards, and it's a difficult task. Many people say, "Why don't you expand? Why don't you go and run a program?" Because we do run pre-college programs on our campus and beyond virtually. Why don't you expand it to the West Coast where they really need something like this? I basically tell them the truth: there's not enough talent right now.
Just a couple more questions, George, as we come to a close, but what's your long-term vision for the school?
Well, the Board of Trustees has just left a retreat, and they have two directions to go in. And one is to expand the college a little bit more in Leesburg, and the other one is to widen our footprint. And that may be someplace in this country or overseas. We've certainly been approached because the numbers are reality. They're realistic. The numbers, the matrices that we have on student persistence, on student graduation, and work, entry into the workforce, are significantly ahead of not only the vast majority of institutions, but I think all institutions. And the need overseas is so great. I mean, we tried to start at the invitation of a group in India. It's just too big an issue, given the kind of talent base that is that we have. We have a very good relationship with the United Arab Emirates, and particularly Sharjah, and we do a lot of work with them. They're very sophisticated in what they do, but it's a totally different culture, a totally different environment. But I love what they call individuals with disabilities. I don't call them individuals with disabilities. They call them people of determination. And you know, our kids, it's perfect because our kids at Beacon are the most determined students. And I would say the faculty is the most determined faculty that you can imagine. So that is the perfect name for it. And we had to get it from another culture.
Oh, I believe it. Before I ask our last question, I do want to tell our audience, particularly in Central Florida, I got the opportunity last week to drive the campus and walk around a little bit. What was really amazing to me, George, I walked in the Student Union building, which appeared to be kind of the hub of campus, or one of them at least, and there were groups in there. There were like a handful of groups that were socializing, and there was just incredible camaraderie in that room, and it was really cool. And so I want to say your secret sauce up there in Leesburg is impressive to you and your team, and I know it's a team effort, a lot of folks involved in this undertaking, but it's a pretty special place. I mean, to offer this to this particular cohort is pretty incredible.
The one thing I can say is if I ever get down in a day, I take a walk over exactly where you went and to see the activity, and particularly for students who have social contact issues, to see how they really develop over time. It's really an incredible thing to see. And I would say, and I don't believe this is bragging rights, I believe it's a reality. We knew by year five that we were going to be ranked very high in our specialty, because everybody accepts students with learning and attention issues. Every institution, they do.
You do rank high. I think recently the school showed very well against its peer group. Didn't some just come out?
We always knew that we were going to get high in the rankings. So we're number one for students with learning and attention issues, higher ed for students with learning and attention issues. We're number one in Peterson's guide. But what we didn't expect to happen as quickly was the recognition of the institution as a rigorous traditional institution. And last year, we were ranked number 10 for regional colleges, and a lot of this is outcome-based, but regional colleges in the South in U.S. News and World Report, and we just found out that we are now ranked number 3.
Wow.
And we are ranked number 5 in the very critical area of social mobility. So that has a lot to say for the institution. Certainly, they can be bragging rights, but the reality is we refuse to be self-satisfied. We just try to keep improving and to have those outcomes better and better with each year. So that what we want in the end is to have the Beacon experience to be the model experience for any undergraduate, not just an undergraduate learning and attention issues.
It's really impressive, George. Thank you for the work you guys are doing out there. It really is incredible. And my last question, with your credentialed and incredible career in education and travels, what's a lesson you've learned along the journey that you might want to impart today that's helped you along the way?
Personally, that your island of challenge should not be the landscape of your life. It can be a motivator. It can be something that you have to overcome with some very special ways, a toolkit, because it shouldn't be the landscape of your life. We're all very different. People ask me, how different are students at Beacon? I say, well, they're just like any other student. They have their own ambitions. They have their own strengths. They have their own challenges. They have, you know, their own dreams and ambitions. And if that's helpful to the audience here, it is what we understood when we first went to the kind of model that we have, and the focus on being a really good liberal arts institution for our students and for our families. The other thing that I have learned, now this is on a professional basis, is if you build it, they will come, but you have to have fidelity. Fidelity to the utmost professionalism in your field. And I would say we still have plenty of way to go at Beacon, but we have been at a very high level professionally, and we've really pushed the model. And we've gone from 187 students to, we've had to stop at 500. And we're trying to figure out other ways of having students become involved with the undergraduate program. You asked about what's the future. We're still trying to determine what that will be.
Keep pushing.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming on here, George. I'd like to thank our guests and our listeners to Regions Business Radio Orlando, presented by Regions Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. You can enjoy our episodes anytime by visiting businessradiox.com and selecting the Orlando studio, and then clicking on Regions Business Radio. This program is also available on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. Please be sure to subscribe to the program so you don't miss any of our future episodes. I'm Scott Wall, and you've been listening to Regions Business Radio Orlando on Business Radio X.
Regions Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. This information is general in nature and is not intended to be accounting, legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Regions believes this information to be accurate when recorded, but it cannot ensure that it will remain up to date. Consult an appropriate professional concerning your specific situation. The information should not be construed as a recommendation of a specific course of action for any individual or business. All Regions products and services are subject to qualification requirements, terms, conditions, fees, and credit approval. Regions reminds its customers that they should be vigilant about fraud and security, and that they are responsible for taking action to protect their computer systems. Fraud prevention requires a continuous review of your policies and practices as the threat evolves daily. There is no guarantee that all fraudulent transactions will be prevented or that related financial losses will not occur. Visit regions.com/stopfraud or speak with your banker for further information on how you can prevent fraud.